loud. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Chad.
All right, Jim. So the Timberwolves go to Brooklyn and they beat the Nets. Everybody else is doing it. 125-109 the final. Julius Randle goes for a triple-double, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. Your thoughts on the Wolves' win?
Yeah, he was really good and really efficient. Really, their offense was pretty efficient. They had a lull in the third quarter, I think. But overall, their offense is really efficient. They move the ball. They hit their shots. They got some bench scoring. I thought the defense was a little lax in the third quarter and they let Brooklyn hang around. The reality is 82-game season, second game on a road trip, playing a team that doesn't get you very excited, you're probably going to have some defensive lulls. But the defense is not great. Gobert was pretty good. But, yeah, I just didn't see a lot of defensive effort at times. But they did enough to win, to win a game they had to win, and now they move on. Also, probably the bigger news, Jay, is Anthony Edwards has been cleared for full contact practice, which is a sign that he's not very far off.
Very good. So, I mean, what's the expectation? Because it was 2 weeks initially. He's been sitting out for about a week. So another week, or will it just be days?
Yeah.
Now?
It's somewhere between five to 12 days, somewhere in that range. It's not something you can really pinpoint. It's going to be how he feels, how he responds after a hard workout. And then we'll see if they, we don't even know at that point whether they'll play him full go or whether he'll kind of start easing back in.
Jim, a few more minutes last night for Rob Dillingham, played 20 minutes. So did Jalen Clark. We've been seeing, the backup guys, whether it be Shannon, Dillingham, Clark, Highland, Baron Jay, he played last night too, get some opportunities. What do you think of some of these young guys and who's really kind of solidified their spot as a rotation guy?
Clark's the easiest guy to play because he's always going to play hard. He's always going to play defense. He's going to make all the hustle plays, and he's probably a better offensive player than we thought when he first arrived. He can hit an open shot. He creates for teammates. He's the guy you can just put in anytime you want. He can play with anybody. Shannon, I think, has been a little bit of a disappointment so far. He just hasn't been the plug-and-play offensive dynamo they thought he was going to be. I do think they've missed Nickeil Alexander-Walker because of that. They don't really have that lockdown defender on the defensive on the bench right now with DiVincenzo starting. Baron Jay is going to play is, it's going to be situational depending how quickly it develops, what the needs are, whether Gobert's, how many minutes Gobert's playing, all those other things are trying to break him in slowly. Dillingham, I thought he did a good job the last couple of games creating for teammates, setting people up. I thought last night he could have had a bunch of assists that people missed shots on. It still doesn't look quite right to me, though. And I think everybody wants him to succeed so much. Every time they see a glimpse of him running the offense properly or making a good pass, they get really excited. But I think we're grading on a curve here. He does not look like a championship caliber point guard, and that's kind of why they drafted him. So you just have to hope he kind of slowly comes along.
Jim, the Gopher men's basketball team started the regular season. They beat up on Gardner-Webb last night, 87-60. They were actually up 20-1 at one point in this game. Cade Tyson has been great for him so far, had 30 points. Jalen Crocker-Johnson, a transfer from Colorado State, played with Nico before, 13 points, 14 rebounds. Your thoughts on the Gophers?
Yeah, I really think that Cade looks like a big-time player. He's coming here from North Carolina. He's like 6'7", and he can shoot the three. It's a pretty good combination. We'll see what he does against better competition, but he looks pretty good so far. Crocker Johnson, 6'8 guy with a little bit of muscle. He had a nice game on the boards last night. Their point guard, Chancey Willis Jr., his box score wasn't particularly impressive, but he runs the offense the way Medved wants it run. Medved really emphasizes ball movement, body movements, lots of passing, create open shots with ball movement and body movement. It's kind of an energetic offense, fun offense to watch. And I think we've seen a series of Gopher coaches who kind of just had to hand the ball to their best player and hope something good happened. And I think this is going to be a much more entertaining offense to watch and probably going to be better for the offensive players, probably going to create more open shots. So, not much of an opponent, but I think they played the way you would want to see him play last night.
Jim, do you think the skills that they have and what they're running offensively and how they're playing defensively, will that translate to being competitive against better opponents, Big Ten opponents?
I don't know. I just don't know what the talent level really is, and we're not going to know until we see them against better teams. I think Medved is a really good coach. I think he knows how to run these things. They're going to need Tyson to be a big-time scorer. They're going to need to have some inside bulk and production. I'm not sure that they might get beat up inside right now. I can't, at this point, predict any great things for the first year in the Big Ten. I think you just want to see it look right the first year.
Jim, the Cardinals beat the Cowboys last night, 27-17. Jacoby Brissett, 261 yards passing, two touchdowns. He's getting the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr., something that Kyler Murray has been struggling to do, and Murray is injured right now. Is Brissett better for this offense than Murray?
It looks like it. Brissett just throws the ball on time. He's got a big-time arm. Everywhere he's been, people have loved him. I mean, he's kind of one of the better backups in the league, and when he's had some stretches where he's played well as a starter. But, plenty of arm strength, gets rid of the ball quickly, reads defense as well, accurate, big, strong guy. He can kind of shrug off pass rushers sometimes. And Murray, Murray's got a lot of Caleb Williams in him. He can make the spectacular play, but sometimes he makes a spectacular play at the expense of making the right play on time. So, yeah, I think Cardinals are – and the Cardinals are doing this with, their third-string backs, too. Their lead back got hurt for the season, James Conner, and then and Benson, kind of their young running back they really like, he's been out. So I can't really say it's an impressive win, though, because the Cowboys have one of the worst defenses in the league, and their offense was terrible last night. They had some offensive line injuries. They didn't make – usually it's a shootout, right? The Cowboys are going to score 30-plus, and you got to find – and you have a pretty good chance of outscoring them. Last night, the Cowboys' offense just wasn't very good. They had a blocked punt for a touchdown. I think they only had, one offensive touchdown? That can't happen with that group of talent.
Jim is – and they don't tolerate losing. They're 3-5 and 1 now in Dallas. Somebody going to get fired?
This is – Jerry Jones should fire himself. He's the one who traded Micah Parsons and ended up with the worst defense in the NFL, or one of the two worst defenses in the NFL. He took a great defensive player off a bad defense, and we're seeing the obvious results. It's all Jerry Jones' fault. He can blame Schottenheimer if he wants, but it's his fault. I will say Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, has now failed in two straight jobs. He was a terrible head coach for the Bears. Now he looks like a terrible defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. So if Jerry's going to fire somebody other than himself, it's probably the defensive coordinator.
All right, Jim, the NFL trade deadline is this afternoon. We've seen some moves trickle in over the last few weeks. Do you expect moves today? Do you think the Vikings would be involved in anything?
I mean, I have no idea, frankly. I don't have a good read on that right now, but I would say winning at Detroit with McCarthy playing well certainly changes the way you look at this roster. This is an older roster. It's an old, expensive roster. And it kind of built to win now if they get good enough quarterback play. And they got plenty of receiving talent. They have plenty of offensive line talent when they're healthy. And this is about as healthy as they've been all year. They could probably use another cornerback or safety. So, they've been very aggressive in building and going after things. And they're not afraid to spend assets. And now they have reason to believe that this team actually has the capability of winning some big games. I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and got some secondary help.
Jim, your column in the Star Tribune, you talk about J.J. McCarthy. What about McCarthy kind of gets this team excited?
Well, I just think, I've covered a million athletes, and I've covered a million NFL people, and so many of them always feel like they're reading off a script and they're afraid to kind of show their personality. It's just like a lot of it is just – cliched. The whole process is cliched. What people say is cliched. People are based. And I don't blame them. I mean, in today's world, you don't want to say something that lights up the internet. But it's all kind of routine, And McCarthy is just that rare athlete where you're around him, you talk to him, and you feel like all of his enthusiasm and all the good vibes involved with him are real. You know, I just, he kind of lifts people up. And that's a big thing. We're a young quarterback in the NFL. You haven't even done much yet. And you have the ability to lift people up. I just think he's got a rare charisma about him and an ability to lead. Now, those things only matter if he plays well. But if he plays well, I just think he could be exactly the kind of guy you want as your franchise quarterback.
Jim, Minnesota Wilds are going to play at home against Nashville tonight. The Wilds, they did get a win over the weekend, so they're 4-6-3. John Hines kind of sounded pretty relieved that they got a win here. Do they need to get some wins? Or if they go on another losing streak, could he be in trouble?
Yeah, I would think so. Very interesting, too, because, you know, remember, Dean Evason questioned his players' effort, and I think he was gone very quickly. Once you question the players' effort, if you don't see a result, you basically are gone. So he questioned their effort. They came back and they beat a pretty good team and played well doing it. So now, was that a one-off or is that the beginning of a trend? Are they going to be they should be a competitive. They're not a great team, but they should be a competitive team. And they have not been competitive this year. So was that the beginning of them getting back to just being a tough team to play against and a team that puts out effort? We're going to be testing that theory game by game here. But yeah, if they went back on another losing streak, I think there would be a change.
Well, and Nashville's a team that's very similar to them. They're 5-6-3, so they've just won one more game than the Wild have. And at this point of the season, is there just a lot of parity in the NHL?
I mean, you haven't seen a lot of separation. And really, when you're I know I say it all the time. When you have a high-intensity sport and you ask people to play 82 games, you're going to have lulls. You're going to have energy lulls. You're going to have slumps. And sometimes the slumps just arrive early in the season. What you don't want to see is what we saw from the Wild at times during that stretch is just the lack of effort and lack of intensity. That's, you know, it's one thing to not be at your absolute best all year. It's another thing to just lose games because you're not into it. And that was the Wild's problem. That's what they need to solve.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
This morning we'll do the John Krasinski show and the Viking Update show. We'll do Don Mitchell's interview show later today. We have Mark Rosen Sports Monday out with Marnie Gellner. We have Randy Shaver's high school football show. Kevin Gorg and Randy Shaver on our high school football show, the Fantasy Huddle. And everything's at TalkNorth.com or in favorite podcast app. I also recommend the last few Chin Musics, talking about the Twins' managerial search, their hire, the World Series, and how Lavelle Neal broke the news that Derek Shelton will be the next manager. That's our Chin Music show, also at TalkNorth.com.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jim. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcasts at TalkNorth.com. 7:28, and we're at 34 degrees. I do have your dream getaway number 88 code word, first one of the day, and that is polish. P-O-L-I-S-H, polish. Type that in. You can win a vacation of a lifetime. First code word is polish, P-O-L-I-S-H. We'll have code words at 10:20 and 12:28 today and an app-only code word at 3 this afternoon. First code word of the day is polish. News.